been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday morning, August the 19th, live edition of the Best Stocks Now radio hour. Looks like it may be kind of a quiet day today in the market in this midweek edition of trading on the Dow, on the NASDAQ, in the Russell 2000, in the gold markets. Where will the action be today? Right now you've got Dow futures up 18 points. Very quiet. NASDAQ futures, meanwhile, we hit a new high yesterday, but looks like we're going to back off a little today, down 25 points on the NASDAQ futures right now. The S&P futures, wow, almost dead flat right now, down or up 1 point. But we did get a new all-time high. Despite COVID and all the problems we've had this year in our economy and in the markets, an all-time high yesterday on the S&P 500. The Russell 2000, it's up a few points today. Maybe you'll see a little action in the small caps. I'm sure we'll find something today. I've got a list of about 800 charts to go through and look at today. Anxious to get started. Crude oil down 37 cents at 42.52. Gold is back under 2,000. It's down $14 after the Buffett bounce on Tuesday. Gold is $19.99 today only. Better get it while it's hot. Silver is down 24 cents, $27.83. Maybe the bond market's active today. Oh, boy, it's totally asleep over here at the bond market. Wake up. 0.65% down 1 basis point. But there's always something exciting every single day, although the market may be a bit dull today. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. Well, we had a very good day in the market again yesterday. We had a very good day. We hit new highs. The market hit new highs. S&P 500, all-time high. Who would have ever thought, okay? You go back to March of this year, the S&P was reeling. The economy was closing down. And you know that was one of the best buying times that I've seen during my, look at some of these stocks that I've been talking about, Overstock.com, Amazon. Go back and look at where those stocks were back in March of this year, where they were are now. I don't remember very many people saying, hey, you need to jump in here and buy with both hands. But I do remember a guy in Mount Pleasant, South Carolina, who was all over it on Seeking Alpha, missing the bottom by just 4 days, all right? The S&P got clear down to 2,191. And where is it now? 3,389. And I've been a bull all along the way. Ever since 4 days before the market bottomed, I said, get ready, this is it. And then on the 4 days before that bottom, on February 19th, I said, here's lots of opportunities right now. Look for a V-shaped recovery in the economy. The NASDAQ has made a V-shaped recovery. The S&P 500 has made a V-shaped recovery. The Dow has made a V-shaped recovery. I still get criticized. Well, it's all the Fed. Okay, all right. It's all the Fed. Then I guess it would have been noble to stand on the sidelines and say, I'm not getting involved in this rally. This is a fake Fed rally. Well, here we are, all-time highs. The question is, now, where do we go from here? And we will stay in touch very much so with the market on a daily basis here. Okay, we've erased all the losses from the market from COVID. It's all gone. The economy certainly is not hitting new all-time highs, however. How can the market be hitting new all-time highs? Because the market looks forward. I've said that all along. And when people were looking at the market back in March, they were saying, how can the market ever go storming back, Gunderson? The economy is as bad as it gets right now. We're probably headed for a depression. Well, the market disagreed with those theories that we were headed for a depression. The market saw something else entirely. And once again, the market was right. So if you just are looking at today's market or today's economy, yesterday's economy, tomorrow's economy, that's not what the market's looking at. The market is looking 6 to 12 months down the road at least. And it saw something very different from what most of the pundits, most of the individual investors, I guess, were seeing at that time. Stimulus, maybe. It seems like Trump is holding out the, I'll fund the Postal Service if you'll give us money for more payroll protection. That seems to be the two cards that both sides are dealing with right now. They are coming back, I think, by this next Friday or something like that to vote for post office funding, but the Republicans want something in return. So there is renewed hope for some kind of stimulus. Another couple trillion, what the heck, going into the economy. China, you know, that's not getting any better. The trading tensions with China, there were supposed to be talks last weekend about implementation of last winter's Phase 1 deal, but the president last night said he called them off and gave little indication that they would be rescheduled. Well, that standoff continues to be a big one. But at the same time, there was a lot of work that went into that deal, and I'm sure neither side really wants to walk away from it at this point in time. There was some really good action yesterday in the market, and as I went through my list, which I cull from my database of 5,300-plus securities, I look at all those A-plus momentum stocks that I have. There's a lot of them. It's because of this extraordinary move that the market's made since March. That's given a lot of stocks A-plus momentum grades, like an all-time high on those stocks, because this has been one of the all-time great rallies in the market that I've ever witnessed in my 23 years in the business. I feel sorry for those that stood on the sidelines and threw darts and rocks and criticism. They really, really missed out. But having said that, you know, the rally, the beat still goes on. Yesterday, Amazon, unbelievable move. Amazon yesterday broke out. It's not quite at an all-time high. No, it is. That's a new closing high yesterday of 3,312. Look at that chart. I mean, Amazon is not a new kid on the block. But it's trading as like it's one of the hottest momentum stocks in the entire market, and it is. Their earnings this quarter up 97% year over year. Their sales up 40% year over year as they just continue to build a more dominant position in the world. Really controlling, I don't know what percent of the commerce they're controlling here in the United States. It's very, very scary. At some point, I don't think it ends up well. But in the meantime, what are you going to do? You have to own Amazon in your portfolio. It hit a new all-time high yesterday, breaking out with the vengeance. We continue to own Amazon in our premier growth portfolio. It's now a 1.65 trillion dollar company. And you know what, I mean, I've set all my prejudices and opinions and biases aside, which you have to do in this business. And I look at the ranking of Amazon in my app. Where is it ranked right now? Let's take a quick look. I know it's probably a top 10 stock in the app right now and just continues to dominate and crush the competition. Amazon right now in the Best Stocks Now app is ranked at number 16 out of 5,315. Well, there was about 10 others that I noticed yesterday that just made my eyes bug out. We'll take a look at those when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now hour. Welcome back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now radio. I want to just paint a little picture for you and a parallel here because I think there's a lot of similarity between what I do and what my passion is and in fishing. Later this afternoon, I'm going with one of the more well-known guides, fishing guides, from this neck of the woods. And I'm just looking at his website. Let me just read this couple of lines here, paragraph. The southeastern corner of South Carolina, which is where I live, known as the Low Country, is a special place. The coastal plain between Charleston, South Carolina, and Savannah, Georgia, is a network of rivers and creeks meandering through vast, unspoiled marshlands and antebellum plantations. This is the guide speaking, I have been raised fishing, crabbing, shrimping, and boating. Well, I was raised as far away from here as you possibly can be in San Diego, California, southwest corner. Now I'm in the southeast corner. But at the same time, fishing is fishing. There's a lot of similarity, but there's also a lot of difference between the kind of fishing I did in California and the kind of fishing I'm doing here. I don't have time to get out every day and spend 10, 12 hours on the water. He goes on to say, this is the guide speaking, I have lived in Charleston my whole life. And at the age of 19, I started my own business. I have 24 years experience fishing the Charleston area waters, and I would like to share my knowledge of fishing with you. Well, that's what I like. That's what I enjoy doing. I get emails. I don't ever really talk about them, but I get probably 10, 5, 4, 6 emails every week saying, you know, I've learned so much listening to your show. And even better than that, they say, I made money listening to your show. Now, he goes on to say, and I've never been out. I'm anxious to meet him. He sounds like a great guy. He says, I consider myself a teaching captain. I do too, because my passion is teaching others how to fish. I could substitute invest there with the kind of success I experience out on the low country waters. I enjoy teaching all ages and all skill levels. I do too. I'll just close with this. He says, basically, I love what I do, and I want to share my enthusiasm about fishing and then being on the water with my guests. This is my profession, so you can expect quality service and professionalism from me. There's a guy cut out of the same cloth, man. I can't wait to meet this guy. I'll let you know how we do tomorrow. But he has so many advantages. There's just no way I can just go out. There is so much water to cover here. Where I live, rivers, creeks, harbors, inlets, ocean. It's endless. It goes on and on and on. Now, I've pecked away a little and learned quite a bit. I've done okay, but you know, spending a day on the water, afternoon on the water with a guy like this, I'm sure will greatly amplify my knowledge, and hopefully I can learn a lot from him. All right, so let's go on here with the market. Let me show you what I observed yesterday. I was on the water yesterday. I told you about Amazon. Unbelievable move in Amazon yesterday. A few others that really caught my eye. Livongo, LVGO. Now, I found Livongo using the app and listening to the news and digging in the news, and I bought it. It's been one of the biggest winners I found. Recently, Teladoc announced that they're buying Livongo, and the stock sold off on that news. But I wasn't about to sell my Teladoc or Livongo. Two great stocks getting together, that's a good thing. Now, I've seen two crappy stocks get together, and they make one big crappy stock, right? You get two good stocks getting together, and usually they end up being even a better stock. Livongo had a remarkable day yesterday, and so did Teladoc. A lot of controversy right now about the Chinese stocks. But over here, you've got the news, and over here, you've got the chart of the stock. The news is saying one thing, and the charts are saying something else. JD broke out again yesterday to a new all-time high. And I see today that somebody has put it on their focus list. Okay, yeah, Goldman Sachs put JD.com on its conviction list and raised the target price from 73 to 85. Well, the stock's at 70 right now. JD had another big breakout yesterday. So, yes, there is controversy with the Chinese stocks right now. But at the same time, the really good quality ones are breaking out right now. Another stock that caught my eye yesterday, Workday. Well, maybe that means we're getting back to work. There was a lot of traffic. We were going to go a little distance yesterday to a restaurant on the other side of town, and the traffic, I turned around, aborted mission, you know. I said, forget this. The traffic is kind of back to normal here. The rush hour traffic, which indicates people at work. Workday had a huge breakout yesterday. I continue to own Workday. What's a hyper growth stock? What else did I notice while I was on the water yesterday? Apps. Digital Turbines. That stock is now a triple since I bought it in early June and hit a new high yesterday. That wasn't a bad pick. Another Chinese stock looked good yesterday, Alibaba. In fact, the Chinese stocks in general had one of their best days that I've seen in a long, long time, despite the saber rattling that is going on right now towards the Chinese stock. Penn Gaming had a big day yesterday. I don't know. I'm not a fan. They have Barstool, which is a trading app, gambling on sports events, which there's not a lot of sports events right now to gamble on. Lululemon, that's why everybody's gambling on bankrupt stocks on Robinhood. Lululemon had a good day yesterday. I like the direction Lulu is headed to try to take a bite out of Peloton. And speaking of Peloton, Peloton had a very good day yesterday. Gyms are reopening. 30% capacity, maybe 50% capacity at most. But at the same time, the workout at home craze, the buy from home craze, the work from home craze seems to be a trend that is here to stay. And Lulu is getting in on this, virtual workouts, as is Apple. I thought Chipotle had a pretty good day yesterday. Wayfair had a good day yesterday. Another good day. Wayfair has gone from $22 per share in March to $3.26. I missed it. $22 per share to $326, a 15-bagger in W. Never made a penny in profit. Maybe this year. Yeah, it looks like they might be profitable this year. but look at the explosive growth in online consumerism. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Well, the market has opened. NASDAQ up 9. Dow up 25. We're actually up for the day. We were down a little bit in the pre-market, and now we're up. We got one stock, a couple stocks doing fairly well here today. So a little better start than I anticipated. We will take it. All right. There are some deals here today. Where's one? Johnson & Johnson to acquire Momenta Pharmaceuticals, MNTA. I kind of had that on my watch list. It's been acting pretty well recently, and it got taken out today. This is another big biotech deal. Johnson & Johnson, these big drug companies continue to become more and more biotech companies with pipelines, rich pipelines. And J&J, 69% this stock is up today, Momenta Pharmaceutical. Too late. We got to find another one. Berkshire's investment is a significant step for the gold mining industry. This is what the Barrick Gold CEO said. He said it's the ultimate privilege to have Berkshire Hathaway as an investor in one's company, and something that I've been aspiring to, says CEO Mark Bristow. Buffett purchased $500 million of his company's stock, $500 million. $500 million. That's not a very big stake, really. It's a $53 billion company, so that's about, a 2% stake in the company. But still, it is quite a move. Barrick was up 12% on Monday. It was up another 2.5% yesterday. Bristow says he has not spoken with anyone at Berkshire regarding the investment. I'm surprised. You'd think Buffett would have some discussions with the CEO. Buffett obviously thinks that gold prices are going higher. And here's one reason he may think that. I was looking at a chart of the dollar yesterday. I look at UUP every day. That is an ETF that tracks the U.S. dollar. That's not a good chart. That's a chart that looks like a bent fishing rod. Headed down, dollar hangs out near 27-month low, pressured by stock rally, trade tensions, and I got to believe the amount of debt and spending that we have racked up here to try to recover from this COVID. And that's also helping the gold go higher, and it looks to me like the U.S. dollar, I would bet against it. That just looks like the bet to me. You're not going to make a whole lot of money. I mean, you're talking about a move of 3 or 4%, but that's a lot when it comes to currency. As I mentioned before, JD.com joins Goldman's conviction list. Okay, now they've got conviction. What did they have before? I don't know. I've had conviction for quite some time. And now Goldman jumps in with Gunderson. Etsy called one of the highest quality digital commerce growth stories. You know what? That's another one riding this wave. Etsy, with all of this work from home business, Etsy's business is booming right now. Their most recent quarter, earnings up 436%, sales up 137%. You know, Etsy pretty much floundered for quite some time, but it was definitely a beneficiary of the COVID pandemic. Another beneficiary, I've talked about the housing market. In fact, some are saying that the housing market can drive the economy out of recession. You know, the housing market is a big player in our economy. Housing starts illustrated the V-shaped recovery in the housing sector that many were hoping for. Well, it's being driven by a couple of things, right? It's being driven by the outflow of folks out of the major cities to the suburbs. I don't see New York ever being the same. My wife and I were talking about that. I remember the glory days of New York City and Broadway and Times Square and all the glitz. And now you look and it looks like a ghost town. I don't see it coming back. I really don't. And that's aiding the housing recovery. And what else? Dirt cheap interest rates are helping the housing recovery. Where is housing the strongest? The Northeast? Well, that's where COVID was the strongest, right? The South? Well, that's us, Florida, other states, people moving here, lower tax rates, decent weather. People are relocating from urban areas, which is helping demand, while record low mortgage rates are also encouraging refinancing and buying. Okay, and that's a big part of our economy, so that bodes well. California, on the other hand, having all kinds of problems, power prices in the western U.S. again soar to record highs. Oh, you pay a lot for power if you can get it. Now they've got rolling blackouts going on. They've got 23 fires going on. Utilities are preparing for outages. It's kind of a mess right now. One of the worst run states, I would say, in America. That's one reason why I live 3,000 miles away. Now, new high for Tesla. Okay, I learned something new. It's a FOMO trade. You know what a FOMO trade is? I had to look it up. Fear of missing out. Do you know that Tesla yesterday hit? I mean, there's no connection to value here at all. Nothing. This is popularity. It hit $1,923 per share yesterday. Today it's down a little bit. It's at $1,860. Maybe they need an ETF, FOMO, F-O-M-O, fear of missing out. Hey, the Dow's got a little lift under it here, up 85 points right now. That's nice. What's the NASDAQ doing? NASDAQ's got a little lift under it, too. Nope. Down 4 points. Oh, we're going to have one of those days where the Dow outperforms the NASDAQ. I continue to keep my eye on GM. GM is making a big push in China with their new electric vehicles. And, you know, I like this idea that someone's thrown around that GM maybe is going to spin off their electric vehicle and maybe they'll become a part of the FOMO trade. Fear of missing out, maybe GM's electric vehicle unit, which it hasn't done yet. It has not said it's going to do that, but there is talk, there is calls for them to spin off their electric vehicle unit. In the meantime, you've got a Chinese electric vehicle company now entering the U.S. market, Kandi, K-N-D-I, Kandi America, is taking online reservations for the company's Model K23 and Model K27 electric vehicles as part of its launch event today. You'll have to look up Kandi and what they look like. I don't even know. They're going for as low as $19,999 after a federal tax credit is applied and potentially even lower in some states, with additional incentives. Let's see what Kandi stock is doing. KNDY, $8.85. Amazon pushes third-party merchants for faster deliveries. Oh boy, they're cracking the whip. And I know that's one of the claims about the post office being bogged down, is the packages, we're starting to get a lot of packages from Amazon. They're actually being delivered through the Postal Service. And apparently the Postal Service loses money on every package. shipped that they shipped for Amazon. Apple builds out streaming radio to take on Spotify. Spotify's become a monster. Boy, they've gone out on a limb. They spent $100 million on Rogan. They paid Michelle Obama a bunch of money to do a podcast. I hope it works out for them. They need subscribers and advertisers. It hasn't worked out so good for XM and Sirius Satellite. We'll see how it does. And in the meantime, you've got Apple competing. How about used car prices? One of the hottest sectors in the market are the auto stocks, the auto dealerships. Asbury Group, Penske, a couple others, they've been red hot recently. Wholesale used car prices are at all-time highs. There's something to invest in. Used cars or AT&T or IBM. When we come back, we'll have our featured stock of the day. And welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Well, in this final segment, I want to kind of go into a little more depth the contrast between the online retailers and the bricks and mortar, because they've both been in the news a lot this week. Kohl's getting clobbered today. KSS. Kohl's is down today. Well, now it's up a little bit. Okay, it was down 14% in the pre-market, but now it's up a little, but still a very much struggling franchise, KSS, $3.1 billion in market cap. The mall names, very jittery. Nordstrom, Macy's, Children's Place, Designer Brands, Abercrombie and Fitch, Dillard's, Tilly's, Boot Barn, American Eagle, struggling mightily. I've been to the Mall of America many times. When I go to Minnesota, I'm anxious to get back to Minnesota, but I got to wait until COVID dies down. Mall of America has now missed three straight months of mortgage payments. Home Depot had a good report, but then the stock went negative yesterday. Target, on the other hand, there's a handful. Okay, there's just a handful. Target's having a great day. Minneapolis-based company is up 10% today. That's lifting the Dow, the cyclicals, but on the other hand, the techs are down just a little bit here today. So really it's a tale of two worlds out there in the retail space. Lowe's also reported today. They had a monopoly there for a while. It was about the only place you could shop during COVID was Home Depot, Lowe's, Walmart, your local grocery store. And Lowe's is up a little bit today. So today I'm going to feature an ETF, which I don't do very often. There is an ETF. It's CLIX. One of my subscribers or listeners pointed it out to me. And what it does, well, how is it ranked in the app right now? It's ranked number 127 out of 5,315. Now, I already own an ETF by the name of iBuy. That thing has been sensational, just a sensational performer. iBuy came public at about 25. Today it's 91. And they strictly buy U.S. Online retail stocks. Okay, so that's the Wayfairs, Overstock, Amazon, and on and on and on. Clicks, on the other hand, does two things. They buy the online retail stocks, and they short the bricks and mortar companies. Okay. So that adds a little juice to the equation here, a little bit of caffeine into this ETF. This ETF went public at about 40, I want to say, 40, 2017. It's 91 already. So far this year, it's up 81% since the beginning of the year. It has a momentum grade of A, and it's currently ranked number 127 out of 5,315. I don't know how much money is in this ETF. That hasn't, it's not listed for some reason. iBuy has $1 billion invested in it. But Clix just adds a little bit of a nuance to this. Not only are they long, the online retailers, but they're short. Oh, the L brands and the Macy's and the Nordstrom's and the Kohl's, etc., which are really in survival mode. You had Men's Warehouse go down here recently, Joseph A. Banks, Men's Warehouse, which combined to try to survive. And now they're going down. Steinmart going down. JCPenney's gone. It's not a good environment out there. It's a whole new world out there. And Clix, C-L-I-X, plays on this. So that will be my featured ETF of the day, Clix. And there's also, I just would mention XBuy. iBuy are the U.S. online retailers, but there's a lot of foreign online retailers, like down in South America, you have Mercado Libre. In China, you have Alibaba and JD. So if you want to get an even wider exposure to the online retailers, iBuy also brought out one called XBuy. It's only attracted $9 million so far. It's not nearly as popular as iBuy is. But since March, XBuy has gone from $18.57 to $40.50. Someone's buying it. And I got to believe there's money flowing into that ETF on XBuy, which gives you global exposure to the move towards online retailing and getting boxes on your doorstep. Well, you know what? We've got kind of an online model. Paul and Barry won't show up at your doorstep. I can't ship them via the U.S. Postal. But we can do a virtual meeting, either over the phone, or if you want to see their faces, you can do that too in today's world. And that's the model that I built at my firm, and we are a nationwide business. We have clients, I think, in 33 states or something like that. And we're happy to talk to you. The guys have been busy. We have been adding a lot of new accounts here at our firm. We must be doing something right. Our performance has been extremely good here over the last couple of years. We were one of the few that were all over that buying opportunity that was presented to us on a silver platter earlier this year. While many, many people were skeptical, stood on the sidelines, watched, and threw rocks at the people like me that were so bullish. Well, and we've got a whole range of portfolios from the most conservative to very aggressive. You can mix or match. And we watch our rearview mirror constantly for what might be creeping up on us, meaning we're active. GundersonCapital.com, 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.